Good evening, Loud and Proud listeners, and welcome to another episode of Loud and Proud on Ship Full of Bombs, www.sfob.co.uk. And tonight we are celebrating musical theatre. We have tracks lined up. We have too many tracks lined up, but we also have some very special guests. So there's going to be a lot of talk, a lot of tracks, and I think we're going to have fun tonight. I've got a real good feeling about this. So let's get kicked off and let's get our first track played. And this is from Legally Blonde, the musical.
Dear, right, dear, look at that tan, well-tended skin. Look at the killer shape he's in. Look at that slightly stubbly chin. Oh, please, he's gay, totally gay.
I'm not about to celebrate. Every trait could indicate a totally straight expatriate. The sky's not gay, I say, not gay.
That is the elephant in the room. Boys and girls do assume that a man who wears perfume is automatically radically gay.
But look at his coiffed and crispy locks.
Look at his silk translucent socks.
There's the eternal paradox. Look what we're seeing.
What are we seeing?
Is he gay?
Of course he's gay.
A European.
Gay or European, it's hard to guarantee. Is he gay or European?
Well, he don't look at me.
You see, they bring their boys up different in those charming foreign ports. They play peculiar sports
in shiny shirts and tiny shorts. Gay or foreign fella, the answer could take weeks. They will say things like chamella while they kiss you on both cheeks.
Oh, please, gay,
gay or European, so many shades of gray.
Depending on the time of day, the French go either way.
Is he gay or European?
Over there, right there.
Look at that condescending smirk. Seen it on every guy at work. That is a metro hetero jerk. That guy's not gay, I say no way.
That is the elephant in the room. Well, is it relevant to presume that a hottie in that costume
is automatically radically
ironically
gay, officially gay.
Just as wax.
But they bring their boys up different there. It's culturally diverse. It's not a fashion curse.
If he wears a kilt or bears a purse, gay or just exotic, I still can't crack the code.
Yeah, his accent is hypnotic, but his shoes are pointy toed.
Gay or European, so many shades of gray.
Turns out straight and free at 8 on Saturday.
Is he gay or European? Gay or European? Gay or European?
Wait a minute. Give me a chance to crack this guy. I have an idea I'd like to try.
The floor is yours.
So, Mr. R.G. Takos, this alleged affair with Mrs. Wyndham has been going on for...
2 years.
And your first name again is...
Nikos.
And your boyfriend's name is...
Carlos.
Sorry, I misunderstand. You say boyfriend. I thought you say best friend.
Carlos is my best friend.
You bastard! You lying bastard! That's it. I no cover for you no more, peoples! I have a big announcement. This man is gay and European.
Whoa!
That is a disgrace. Oh. You gotta stop your being a completely closet case.
Oh.
It's me, not her, he's seeing, no matter what he say. I swear he never, ever, ever swing the other way. You are so gay, you big parfait, you flaming one-man cabaret.
I'm free.
You were not yesterday. So if I may, I'm proud to say he's gay.
And European.
He's gay.
What a start to the show that was. And I was just thinking about it during that track. This is like Southend's, it's Ship Full of Bombs' version of Elaine Page on Sunday. Obviously, you know, meeting Elaine Page and my co-host being Barbara Dickerson, the one from, you know, like, a little bit up north, a bit more unattractive and, not really famous anymore.
Ashley,
you're right.
I'm good, thank you. Barbara Dickerson from up north, lovely.
She's actually Scottish, so you got that wrong.
Okay, that's proper northern, isn't it?
A bit more northern than you initially.
Like proper Scottish, right? Okay, I'll get that.
Thanks. And how are things generally?
Good. I really, really empathise with that song. I've fallen afoul of European or gay before, where I've wished they'd been gay, but they've just been
European.
But what is lovely is that when you're in a European country as a gay man, they often don't realise that you're gay. Because to you, you're just European. So it's fun to come out of other countries.
literally come out in other countries.
Yeah, yeah. That's a surprise.
Good. Are you excited about tonight's show?
I cannot even tell you how excited I am. Not just because of the two fantastic guests that we've got.
Indeed.
Love a musical. Huge fan. Huge fan. Created my favourite musical song in lockdown as a task for people to try and recreate their own famous ones.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
You did. I'm losing you a little bit, actually. You need to check your audio. We'll have to sort
of... Okay, well, I'm on an NHS bit of equipment, so you need to pay more taxes then.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, so let's talk about our guests then. So I say a regular to the show, but... she's only been on once before, and I'm quite surprised we let her come back. So I actually asked our guests this evening to write their own intros, and they've done us really proud, actually. I have to say, it might be a new segment for the show. But let me introduce Miss Ruby Violet. So Ruby Violet came out of the womb kicking her legs for cash. From her Essex roots, she has toured the world abroad. Both cruise ships, but found time to settle on land 2 years ago. Last year, she was nominated for Best Drag Queen at the QX Cabaret Awards. And she is very excited to be here tonight to talk about what she loves the most, second to men, musicals. Good evening, Miss Ruby Violet. How are you?
Hello, darling. I'm very happy to be here, my love.
Welcome back. I can't believe they let you in, to be honest, after your... potty mouth.
It was also Fonda, my darling. Show. It was also Fonda.
Well, we'll find out tonight, won't we, who is the troublemaker amongst the two of you. But we're very excited to have you here. And I know personally you are a massive lover of musicals. So we're excited for your knowledge this evening. and our other guest, new to this show, but not new to Ship Full of Bombs, at Miss Ali James, when Ali James of Olivier Award-winning Showstopper, the improvised musical, was younger than Springtime, she thought, wouldn't it be lovely if she could be in no business like show business? Since then, she's had many seasons of love, thank goodness. And she's telling you she's not going and she's going to stay amongst the stars and the moon for good. It's very difficult to introduce you, Ali James, but welcome to the show. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Dan. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you three. It's going to be a really fun night.
Thanks for coming on. I am really excited about this evening. It feels really weird because, like, being in lockdown for so long, and, you know, normally our Ship Full of Bombs listeners know we are in the Purple Love Box at the Railway Hotel, and it feels so good to have actual guests on that aren't our usual. It sounds really mean, we love our usual group, but it feels really nice to see other
we've had some wonderful guests on as well that I don't think we would have had if we'd not had this chance.
No, it gives us a real opportunity. You know, obviously
we had Joe Hustle for the video games one, didn't we?
We did.
Quite special guests. Also, well done for Ali for getting so many punny musical song names into your intro. That was quite impressive.
Thank you very much. It did take me 2 days, but I have got enough time.
Very good. Yeah, very good. And I bossed it, I think. Completely bossed it. So let's talk about musicals then. So like, first, Ruby, what attracts you to a musical? What is the thing that draws you into a musical?
The glamour, the showbiz, the most of all, the escapism, darling. It takes you away and especially at the moment, it just takes you out of everything, doesn't it? It got me out of rubbish times. It's just makes me feel good about myself. The whole idea of stepping into a theatre and the smell of it and the costumes and the makeup and all that cheesy stuff that goes with it. I just love it. I always have since a kid. My parents didn't know what to do with me. Took me to the theatre and I just shut up for once in my life and sat there and roared.
Do you think musicals has had an influence on you as a drag queen?
Oh my God, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, hugely.
Yeah, hugely. I think I was always obsessed with wigs. I don't know why. I loved being close to the front so I could always see their lace fronts and know if they've been kept well. And then we're going to wig see Hairspray, and I was like, this is a musical about hair and your wigs are in shoddy shape. Just because you're halfway through the run, it doesn't mean the upkeep slips.
Because Ruby Violet would never wear a shoddy wig.
No, I would never, darling. Just don't go through my Instagram. Ruby Violet 69.
There we go. First plug of the night. And Ali, same question to you. What made you get into musical? What grasps, you know, what takes you to a musical?
I think it was when I was very young, yeah, really little girl, probably 4. And my grandma and I would sit there having a sherry. And we'd listen to and sing along to her old classics. That's kind of why I put "Wouldn't It Be Lovely" in there, because she used to love singing "My Fair Lady," my nan. So yeah, it was way back when, before I started drinking properly,
but it was just a pastime.
Yeah, exactly. Just something to do alongside the building blocks, and now it's my career, and I love stories. I love storytelling and sharing different ways of living, and like getting a little glimpse into somebody else's life and values and cultures sometimes, and just being able to educate yourself a bit whilst having a good old sing song. And when you can't speak anymore, you sing. And I love that, you know, when the emotion gets too big, you sing. How beautiful is that? What a lovely sentiment to build a business and a genre.
It is indeed. And it confuses me. Like it's a very, you know, if we were doing the proper thing, we'd get someone in that maybe didn't have as much love as the four of us have for musicals. We're very biased towards musicals. There isn't a negative. Oh, Ashley, was you
well,
going
to no,
say?
I came oh, to musicals.
I was going to back exit you from this.
Well, I actually like everything in baritone. I came into musicals really late. I actually got into musicals kind of after I came out, really. So when I was after 16. And then as...
to meet a stereotype.
Yeah, I thought, well, it was in a welcome pack that I had to tick this off. Okay, I've done Celine
Dion. Was it all football and rugby before that?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Sorry, I just got to go and fix some gears or something. But yeah, no, so I got into it really late. But then when my dad was getting unwell before he passed away, so that in my mid-20s, he had a bucket list, and I was quite sorry, but on my dad's bucket list was going to see all the musicals. And so in that time span, I went to go and see Les Miserables. I went to go see Billy Elliot because my dad was a minor. And it was the first time I've actually seen my dad cry at something to do with art, usually football. But like for my dad to like, he really, really was touched by Billy Elliot. And so from then on, I've been like, I need to go and see as many musicals as I can. And I've fallen in love with it. But I rather than the glitz and glamour, a musical that has a really lovely sense of pathos, and when it's got, because oftentimes my favourite song in the musical is usually the saddest song, because I'm also a recovering emo, and so I like A Little Drop of Rain from Les Miserables is my favourite song, A Little Fall of Rain, sorry. So those kind of songs are my favourite, and anything with a bit of sass, like Diva's Lament in Spamalot, is my favourite, will always be my favourite for a bit.
Now that's a good wig. That is
a fantastic wig. That's a very good wig.
I think what's great about, as you know, as you've all just said about your love for musicals and the starting things, there is so much to love about them. There isn't too much to not like about them. Okay, there are some musicals that we may have seen that we haven't liked, and I'm sure we'll talk about those a little bit later, or some maybe that are coming up that we feel we might not like. I get confused as to people that then they tell me they don't love a musical. That I think if we really started to interrogate them, that we'd find out that there was a song or a connection somehow, which means they've got a little bit of passion or love for it.
There is a musical for everyone.
There is, but I have got a friend, and that is surprising for the listeners in the first place, but I've got a friend who, and she openly says she hates musicals, although she's seen very, very few, but she adores Disney.
She
detests musicals, but adores Disney. And so although I shout at her, that is a musical, because, you know what I mean? And she says, oh, my favourite musical film is Sister Act 2. It's a challenge.
Okay, well let's as I said, we've asked you guys put some tracks in that you wanted, listeners, you put some tracks in, we've got a lot to play, so let's have a little let's have a little musical interlude. We're going to start, I think, with one of you three requested this. This is Stranger in This World from the musical Taboo.
This life for as long as I can. Someone make me a star, 'cause I sure as hell can't be a man. I'm too fragile and clever, you know, and this universe just leaves me cold. I'm just hanging around here, I'm longing for someone to hold. Always knew, didn't you, Mother? You always knew, as mothers always do. You always knew, didn't you, Mother? I was a stranger in this world. This dumb education was never quite part of my plan. So you left me to ruin, but I'll always know who I am. I'm too fragile and clever, you see, and your universe just leaves me cold. I'm just hanging around here, I'm longing for someone to hold. You always knew, didn't you, Mother? Always knew, as mothers always do. You always knew, didn't you, Mother? I was a stranger in this world. Whoever told you that these were the days of our lives? The sweet boys, they crumble, the wicked ones rise and survive. Stranger in this world. On a clear day, I can see myself for miles. Oh, Mother. Oh, Mother. On a clear day.
Son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by Providence, impoverished and squalor. Grow up to be a hero and a scholar.
The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter. By 14, they placed him in charge of a trading charter.
And every day while slaves were being slaughtered and carted away across the waves, he struggled and kept his guard up. Inside, he was longing for something to be a part of. The brother was ready to beg, steal, borrow, or barter.
Then a hurricane came and devastation rained on man. Saw his future drip, dripping down the drain. Put a pencil to his temple, connected it to his brain. And he wrote his first refrain, a testament to his pain.
Well, the word got around, they said this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education, don't forget from whence you came. And the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton. And there's a million things I haven't done. But just you wait, just you wait.
When he was 10, his father split, full of it, debt-ridden. 2 years later, see Alex and his mother bedridden, half dead, sitting in their own sick, the scent thick.
And Alex got better, but his mother went quick.
Moved in with a cousin, the cousin committed suicide. Left him with nothing but ruined pride. Something new inside, a voice saying,
Alex, you gotta fend for yourself.
He started retreating and reading every treatise on the shelf.
There would have been nothing left to do for someone less astute. He would have been dead and destitute without a cent or restitution. Started working, plucking for his late mother's landlord. Trading sugar cane and rum and all the things he can't afford. Scared of all. He can get his hands on planning for the future. See him now as he stands on the bow of a ship, headed for a new land. In New York, you can be a new man.
In New York, you can just be a new way. Man. In New York, you can just be a new man. Man.
With him.
Me, I died for him.
Me,
I trusted him.
Me, I loved him.
And me, I'm the damn fool that shot him.
There's a million things I haven't done, but just to pay.
What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton.
Let's go.
forsake me.
Well, that was a bit of a trio. So we had Stranger in This World by from the musical Taboo. I think that was Ruby. That was your choice?
That was indeed, my darling. Yes.
Never heard it. So I have to say, I think my musical knowledge is quite minimal.
Hasn't Boy George done that one as well?
He did, yes. Really? Yes. And it was a weird one because it was sort of based around his life, but then also had another narrative weaved in around it as well. So, and like you were saying about pathos and all of that, I think that's a song that really, for me, really connects with me about being in the closet and coming out. And I just think it's a beautiful song and it's a rarely heard show and song. So yes, that was my choice.
Thank you very much, Ruby. And I'm sure there's more of your choices to come later. Potentially, I don't know what I've put in there and whose choices are who. So we'll, it's all a bit of a game, to be honest. And then we had, what was that?
Professionalism is how we do things.
I know, it's completely professional.
We were all very professional during Out Tonight being played, Dan, weren't we?
Completely. It was very professional. And we were all sitting there just enjoying the music very
easily. I was eating a salad and drinking some water.
Not really showing our enthusiasm for it at all.
No debauchery, nothing like that.
No, I did not. It's the most skin I've seen during lockdown.
So now, children, let's behave. Just before we head out tonight from Rent, we had Alexander Hamilton from the musical Hamilton. Some good tracks there, and there's a lot more still to come. Right, while we're on the subject of musicals, which we're going to be all night, so let's carry on the conversation. difficult question, very tough question. Favorite musical? Ruby shaking her head. She's like, I can't give you one. Can't give you one at all. Not one that like stands out.
No,
or favorite musical for the moment.
No, not even for the moment, because really? I think for me, at the moment, obviously, it's kind of more just like music and watching what you can on bloody YouTube and what you can find. And there's a lot of we shouldn't say, but there are a lot of illegal recordings of shows which are of Broadway musicals.
Darling,
but you know what?
Fine.
If we didn't have them, you know, what would we have? You know what I mean? And how amazing is that to look back when you're like old and like in a home and go, oh, that's me on YouTube.
I mean, it is great. Plus, I've got Hamilton on it, which I think is a really great thing to have the full with Hamilton. I don't have a favourite musical. I have obviously different musicals to suit my mood. Yeah. I adore Les Mis. Just for my memories of seeing it and obviously loving the soundtrack and loving the music. And also I read the novel as well because...
Oof, me too.
It's a tome.
How long did it take you?
Too long. But I also enjoy musicals that make me laugh. And so like Avenue Q and like Spamalot, as I've already said. And also Ruby's going to probably shoot me down on this. But I'm a huge fan. My favourite TV show ever made is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Always has been. And they did a musical episode, and Joss Whedon, the creator, always wanted to do a musical episode because he had singers in the cast. And they made an episode that was a musical in that it wasn't them singing in isolation. They sang when an emotional note happened and the song was about what was going on at the time, but not to advance the narrative, Ali, to kind of like delve into the emotional issues that were happening in the scene. Loved it. And then from that, loads of TV shows did the same thing. But I have the sheet music and I have the album of the Buffy musical and I will always love it. It really lifts my mood.
Interesting, because I want to come back to theatre versus film and that age-old discussion of which, you know, I suppose, yeah, we'll come back to it later. I'll save my thoughts for then. Ali, could you pin down a fave, something that sticks in your mind?
Shall I give my two sides of the coin as well, Dan?
You can.
So my darker show that I really love and have always loved is Jason Robert Brown's Parade. And the reason for that is because thematically, it really appeals to me because it's about a severely unfair situation. It's about someone being framed for a murder. And it just really cries out to me because that really gets my goat. Things that are unfair really, really irritates me. And so that's always appealed to me. Plus the music is stunningly beautiful, as all of Jason Robert Brown's work is. And then my guilty pleasure musical is Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I love it. I think it's so, it has beautiful themes, but it's also so fun and so trashy. And so it's a complete guilty pleasure.
Nice. Yeah. It's a difficult question. I think if I was asked that same question, I've asked the question, now I've got to think about
it. Jerry Springer musical. Is it the Jerry Springer musical? You can tell us.
It's not.
I love that show.
I have not seen it. I think because of things that were going on in my life then, I think Wicked really is very common, but it really sticks in my mind as something that I went to see, I think, about three times, you know, in a short period of time. And I think that to me sticks in. But I think there's a load. Yeah, it's just so diverse, that musical theatre sector, isn't it? It's so diverse. There is something, and that's why I get so confused when people say, I hate musicals. I think hate's a very strong word for something that's so diverse.
It is. It's like saying you hate an entire genre of music when it's just not.
You just might not. It might not be to your liking, and you might not listen to it. But yeah. I think we pin down all those musical haters and interrogate them enough. I think they find something out of it.
Musicals get done to death. Like I mentioned the Jerry Springer musical, and obviously we can't forget the Spider-Man musical, which happened. That exists.
that was great for its own reasons.
What did you say, Ruby? Sorry.
That was Spider-Man was great for its own reasons.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was that cousin that didn't really care what it was. It was just like, I'm going to do it anyway. Fuck how many people I permanently maim. I think it is that kind of thing. But it's funny, and also they call you like musical theatre kids, but it is a culture of people, like people that enjoy musicals and like going to the theatre to watch musicals. And I think about the people that when I drive in to go and see Ali's show, well, the show that Ali's part of, Showstoppers, and just hearing the conversations in the interval between people talking about the story arcs, the narratives, but also talking about the music and talking about all of that. It is an experience. And I think I'm glad that we're going to talk about films versus theatre, because theatre genuinely offers things that film just can't and won't be able to do.
Well, let's we'll come back to film. We'll come back to Showstopper, Ali, in just a moment. I'm going to play some tracks from the past now. So here is two selections that I've picked out of many that we could have had. So we're going to start with Anything Goes.
Rewound the clock since the Puritans got a shock when they landed on Plymouth Rock. If today any shock they should try to stem, instead of landing on Plymouth Rock, Plymouth Rock would land on them. Glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes. Good authors too, who once knew better words, now only use four letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and day's night today, when most guys today that women prize today are just silly gigolos. And though I'm not a great romancer, I know that you're bound to answer. say West. You like army undressed. You like why nobody will oppose. When every night the set that's smart is intruding, and nudist parties in studios, anything
approve. again with my usual sure of my lies. No one is there. Don't you love farce? My fault, I fear. I thought that you'd want what I want. Sorry, my dear, but where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Quick, send in the clowns. What a surprise.
I got so distracted in that little song break that I actually forgot the song was coming to an end. So we're lucky we're not just run into another one. There has been costume changes, props, in 10 minutes.
Absolutely extraordinary.
Who knew?
You regret not filming there.
That could happen. Oh, don't worry, I screenshotted it.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you pose.
No. More like Conchita Best.
Yeah, that is some beard, Ruby Violet.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the man. I'm a lockdown man.
We had Anything Goes from Anything Goes, and we just had Send in the Clowns. There might be clowns. I've lost the plot. I've completely lost the plot. Send in the Clowns. And that's from A Little Night Music.
Somebody definitely sent in the clowns, Dan.
Didn't they sent the clowns.
They've sent us the clowns. They are definitely.
I also have to say, it's Ali's fault that the prop game has started when we're playing.
Yeah, I have to say that. You've kept very quiet about that, Ali. But there was paper and sailor hats. Did you have that prepared already, or was that a quick make?
It was a quick make, yeah.
Oh, she's like
Peter.
She's a bet building.
Was your wig a quick make, Ruby? Doesn't look like a quick make.
Oh, this took weeks, darling.
I was going to say.
I don't do cheap wigs.
You'd be all right on hairspray.
I'm not the
Fonda. You've started that battle again. She will be after you. She will be after you. So we just had a couple of oldies there. But still, you know, Anything Goes is still on. Is it still in the West End? I think it is.
No,
it's still.
No, but it is. Oh. It is coming back next May with Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally.
Who is Megan?
Oh, with Karen from Will and Grace.
Yes, okay, Karen from Will and Grace.
Okay, I've got it now. Yeah, I know Megan Mullally as well. Okay, great stuff. So I said we'd talk about Showstopper. Ali, tell us about it, because you know this is an Olivier Award-winning
Showstopper is a full West End two-act musical, all singing, all dancing, with characters you care about and storylines that will make you cry, but it's all made up on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So we take suggestions from the audience at the beginning of the show and some throughout, and we have a character called the Writer, who's kind of in charge of the show, and he kind of pimps us into crazy antics that we have to get out of. There's a improvising team of eight actors, and then this writer character, and then a band of three, and all the music is improvised. Every single breath we take is improvised from start to finish, and it's in two acts. So it's a full show, and we have shows coming up at the Garrick soon in December, and it's all made up on the spot, so it's pretty terrifying and glorious in equal measure.
Now, I've been to see a few Showstopper shows now, and I can't explain enough how incredible it is, and I really implore everybody to go and watch Showstoppers. So
I agree. I've seen it too. It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. I went to go and see it a few months ago, and it was set on Barbie's maternity ward, Barbie's labor ward, and they had quite a few ask-fors in it. I think it was called Push. And the theme had to be, it also had to include the musical startings of Wicked. And I still remember Ali was playing Barbie, obviously. If you could see her, you'd understand. Very beautiful blonde, it works. But, and also the Ken character was also fantastic, but but it was in the style of Wicked. And I just still remember Ali closing the first half with a song, and you somehow made it. It was a unique made-up song, but you also paid homage to Defying Gravity during the song. And it was it would have fitted in Wicked, but it wasn't a Wicked song. It was absolutely brilliant. I remember turning to the guy that I was with, and he was in tears. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is a made-up musical and somebody's in tears. This is how great the storytelling is. And I know that on the night, depending on the audience that you've got, Ali, they could ask for any musical startings that they wanted to. It could be on Broadway, it could be off Broadway. And if the writer accepts it, that's it, you've got to do it. Even if it's a musical like, I don't know, The Owl and the Lamp or whatever it's called, we wouldn't know what it was. So how do you, because I know, I bet that you know a lot of musicals innately because of your interests, but how do you prep for that?
We do rehearse. We sort of have rehearsals, and we always liken them to like a football team's practice. So we sort of practice the skills that we need to do the show, but then the match is always how the match will be. You know, it's always different every time, and you don't know what the opponent's going to pass you, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really applicable to a football team skill set. So we work together on how to build a song and how to grow a character. And we do a lot of genre work in those sessions. So we'll have, you know, half a day on Phantom or something, or something new comes out. You know, I remember we did a workshop on Tuck Everlasting and Carmen, you know, and all these different types of shows. And then we try and remember various tropes about them. I'm the movement director, so I particularly have the choreographic things to look at and the stylings within the show for that. And then we deliver various parts of it and make notes and try to keep it in our body and keep it nice and fresh by keeping listening to musicals, which is a pleasure, as we all know.
Absolutely. And I obviously, because I watched it, I was amazed by it, but I've done one or two of your courses, and obviously you and I do the improvised panto together, which is a much smaller team with a live band. We make up these so much fun, but the amount of effort needed to not only think about making a song up and then sometimes making a song up with other people, whilst also thinking about costume changes and props that you're going to need, thinking about the narrative, what story's already been told, where you have no script to work from. But then also throw into all of that choreography as well. And I remember doing your course, and it was fantastic. And the skills that you learn from your courses, whatever, Ali James got a course going on, guys, I strongly recommend it. It's amazing. It's like trying to drive a car whilst doing a Rubik's Cube, solving Brexit and getting a vaccine sorted for COVID all at the same time.
That's a musical.
It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than Boris's job at the moment, then. That's what we're saying. Definitely. If there was an opening, get into Downing Street, you'd be fine, I think. It sounded like you'd be able to manage it really well.
And you didn't know what to say.
Tap dancing on those briefings.
Oh, everyone would watch.
It would be so entertaining, yeah. That, you know, I also think when you say 7 p.m. on a prime time on a Monday evening, not.
I think when you ask the next slide, please, it would just be a different musical transition into.
Yeah, exactly.
Mind you, tonight's speech, they had a very sexy dilf of a sign interpreter.
You mean Monday's speech? Yeah.
Yeah. Today's Thursday, but there was another speech tonight, which is Thursday.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Was that speech interpreter as Dilfy?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm glad you brought this up because I was watching the said speech with the said sign interpreter.
And on
I
Monday.
Just if on Monday,
on Monday,
of course.
Yeah.
And if I was watching, like if I was that sign interpreter, I would just want to just go. And I'm now making a sign which is inaudible for air. But why would you not, like, apart from lose your job, that would be, you'd go viral, wouldn't you? You would.
Well, it is work.
I'm not sure. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
He's
which
not going to be on a lot of money, is he?
Do you remember which prime minister it was that they hired somebody that wasn't actually trained in sign to do this?
I thought you were about to say which prime minister was on the Monday speech.
Which prime minister was it? I think
it's
changed
a lot. Which one was that?
I thought you were going to stop at trained, like they weren't the prime minister who wasn't trained.
It wasn't trained.
This is what happens on this show. It's about musicals. Maybe Boris needs to come on one of your courses, Ali.
Yeah, well, you know what I was actually just going to say, because Ashley's so right, there are a lot of skills that need to be learned, right? That's absolutely true. However, what we absolutely focus on is the moment and being spontaneous and making sure that we're absolutely present in the moment, we're staying connected with each other, because the set, which you know, maybe the government could learn something from that. I don't know, who's to say? But I do feel that with this year and with social distancing, etc., everybody is needing some connection, right? Everybody is needing to live in the moment and to take those moments with their friends and family when they see them, even if it's at 2 meters, to truly take that person in and really look at that person and connect with them. And I don't know if you find it, but when I see someone in real life now, I have these awkward moments where it's like I'm looking at their skin all over, like I'm really trying to take in every single thing about them. You know how you were saying earlier, Dan, that we want to be, you know, people want to be together, right? Like they want to see each other, see different people.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes I see my friends and I'm staring at them like a serial killer.
Really
like,
weirdly.
They're
hoping for lockdown so you can stay away a little bit longer. Yeah.
I bumped into my friend in the high street and I genuinely, it was like watching a dog walk on its hind legs. Like I was like, I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. Why isn't there a box around them? I don't like it.
In the last week, I've become like, I've now got a favourite supermarket. This is what lockdown is doing to me. I'm like, I've been to a supermarket. I hate shopping, literally hate it, but I've been to the new Lidl along the London Road three times in a week because I've just there's a really nice cash desk woman. She's really lovely and I've been thinking, oh, this is exactly what I've needed. So I just need
it's a
bit
day out, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's effectively the COVID menopause.
So just thinking, Addy, you were saying the Showstoppers is coming to the Gaiety Theatre from December. Yeah. So how are preparations and plans going for that with social distancing and COVID and all that?
Yeah, it's all obviously like uber safe. It's like, you will not have any fun. Like it's really super safe. But of course that's how everything should be and has to be. And so we're being tested one of these 15-minute tests, you know, that comes back super quick. So we have to go and be tested and then go straight from the test site to the theatre and just do the show and then go home. And there's no like, hey, well done, let's go to the White Hart for a pint. Of course, there's none of that. It's just do the show and that's that. But obviously, we're so grateful to be doing the show. And also for the audience, it's all distanced and there's reduced capacity auditorium, etc., as so many theatres are trying to do. And then the performers are distanced as well. So there's no like skipping through the park singing Jolly Holiday style songs. Like it's all distanced. But we are rehearsing it. And one of the lovely things about Showstopper is that there are no boundaries. It can evolve and change. And the art form of improv is that inherently. So it will always be able to slide through the tiniest of gaps, you know, like it can really reshape itself And we're very lucky in that respect, because obviously so many beautiful shows that should be on stage this year can't be. So of course we're so very grateful that ours is finding this new life. So yeah.
Because you were, I remember when the theatres were actually closing and you guys got no notice at all that it was happening. I remember you had a show booked on that evening and you still broadcast it live on Facebook.
Yeah, we were the last show open in London. Yeah. The
last show open in London. It was amazing. And you guys still did it. And then also a saving grace. Obviously, you can imagine the tears that was on this radio station when Eurovision was cancelled.
Yeah.
Ahead and made your own Eurovision.
Yeah.
I remember watching that on YouTube live. And it was a Showstoppers did Eurovision. And it was fantastic. Ali represented Latvia. And it was fantastic. And also they had a special guest in one of our regulars that's been on the show once, which was Jordan Gray.
Jordan
performed. It was absolutely brilliant and really got us through a dark time. In I also spent so much money on Latvia gear.
We're such an amazing supporter. I felt like you were Christina Jansson's cousin. I was just so amazed by your support.
I had like a life-size cardboard cutout of Bianca Del Rio. I stuck Ali's face on it. Draped in a Latvian flag. I started tweeting with a Latvian accent.
It was so amazing.
And just going back to, like, you know, returning to theatre, because it's, you know, it needs to happen. The entertainment industry has been completely destroyed due to COVID and stupid government decisions. I think sometimes too cautious government decisions, but, you know, we've all got our own opinion on that. Ruby, you were saying earlier that, you know, the smell of theatre, like, you know, just going in, like, do we think that's going to change? The bit I'm getting to, will theatres smell of Dettol from now on? Will there not be that old smell in the theatre anymore?
It's a whole new smell, really clean, for a whole new generation.
But that's what I feel like. Will it actually naturally ever be the same? Like, will, you know,
eventually,
because we know the price of ice cream is going to increase by at least 50%, and it's going to now be, you know, cheaper to buy an alcoholic drink in a theatre than an ice cream, because that's
I like the sound of Ruby Purell.
I'm probably sneaking in my own alcohol. Yes, it's just a litre full of water.
But Ruby, you were a regular theatre goer pre-COVID.
I literally was on my way to the theatre to see Blythe Spirit is one of my favourite plays. It's not a musical, although it has been done as a musical back in the day, a Noel Coward musical. Yeah, he did the music as well. Fun fact. And I literally got to the theatre and they handed me this bit of paper and I was like, you're not open, are you? They're like, nope. I was like, no! But it's fine, because the day before I had gone to see another play at the Menier Chocolate Factory, so that was my last outing. And I've not been since. I've had friends that have gone and have just said, like, the same as like when we're going to the pubs and the restaurants, it's just, there's just a lack of atmosphere. Everyone's on edge. Everyone's like a COVID Hitler. It's true. Like,
I know
what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. I've got fear, but I've got real hope that, you know, people, when theatres open back up and when, you know, people feel, I suppose it's that feeling confident and safe to be able to get back to normality. And I fear that, because, you know, like, okay, restaurants, yeah, they had to eat out to help out, and it was ridiculous. There is an end game.
So obviously the reason that hospitality is now being allowed to open later is that they've realised that all of the new cases, or most of the new cases, were not linked to hospitality at all. And actually they were mostly linked to schools. That's why schools get more.
And me going to Lidl three times a week.
you and your new cashier friend, Dan.
Exactly. We are the cause of COVID.
But there is an end game will be when the vaccine, if it's approved, when it's out and about there. The theory is that the world is going to go back to normal. It'll just be as a case of how many people decide that they're happy to have the vaccine.
But then fine, that's great. But then my fear is, the money, like, because people have been massively impacted, everyone's been impacted in some way apart from those that have obviously got, you know, their mates with the government and been given private contracts, you know, for PPE for millions and billions of pounds, and hopefully they will continue to support theatre as they maybe did before. Let's just hope that they throw their money, you know, their hard work and money into that. But that, you know, that is going to be a massive impact, isn't it? The economy is going to be hit, and yeah, the first thing that goes, you know, would potentially be those areas. So I'm encouraging people to get out there as soon as they can and get to theatres, get back to local.
All MPs will sacrifice their salaries for theatres.
Yeah, I think we've been through really tough times before, and I think people's passion and devotion will get theatre back. It will come back. It's all, you know, over Christmas, it's already doing really well with a lot of shows doing special limited runs and things like that, and some pantos going ahead, and it's because of people's devotion and passion for it.
And it's resilient, isn't it? You know, it's been going since Greece. Like, it's gonna be there. It's gonna find its way through. It can reshape and reform itself.
Yeah.
Good outlook. Right, let's go to some more music then, and let's have four songs now. So let's have a nice little musical interlude, and we're starting.
Costume change.
Let's hope so. And we're starting with a song from Pippin.
Show, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready to have a good time tonight?
This is better. I know you come. I know you come.
And as Timoon set out, she realized she was walking with old friends.
The birds.
Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo.
Sha, sha, sha.
The trees.
Sha, 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 sha.
Boom, boom, boom.
The frogs.
Boom, boom.
And the breezes.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Sha, sha, sha.
Timoon lost all her fear. She knew Asaka was near. Oh, you never been away from the sea, child. You're gonna need a helping hand. A fish has got to learn to swim.
Don't you be afraid.
Oh, little girl, let me be your guide. Oh, a pretty thing like you.
Sha, 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 sha.
We'll need a thing or two. And whatever you need, Mama will provide.
Mama will.
Down the road, little girl, you may lose your way. All alone in a world that may seem too.
Sit on
trees, to sleep underneath,
sand,
fun for your toes,
plantains,
to fill up your belly,
to
fan
your face,
grass, for making your bed,
mosquitoes,
ha! Birds will fly, little girl, and the night will fall.
On the break before I even turn the key, before I make the mistake, before I lead with the worst of me. Give them no reason to stare, No slipping up if you slip away. So I got nothing to share. No, I got nothing to say. Step out of the sun if you keep getting burned. Step out of the sun because you've learned, because you've learned. On the outside, always looking in, will I ever be more than I've always been? Cause I'm tapping on the glass, waving through a window. I try to speak, but nobody can hear. So I wait around for an answer to appear. While I'm watching people pass, I'm waving through a window. Can anybody see? Is anybody waving back at me? With stars in our eyes, we start believing that we belong. But every sun doesn't rise, and no one tells you where you went wrong. Step out of the sun if you keep getting burned. Step out of the sun because you've learned, because you've learned. On the outside, always looking in, will I ever more than I've always been? Cause I'm tapping on the glass, waving through a window. I try to speak, but nobody can hear. So I wait around for an answer to appear. While I'm watching people pass, waving through a window. Can anybody see? Is anybody waving? When you're falling in a forest, there's nobody around. Do you ever really crash or even make a sound? When you're falling in a forest and there's nobody around, do you ever really crash or even make a sound? When you're falling in a forest and there's nobody around, do you ever really crash or even make a sound? When you're falling in a forest and there's nobody around, do you ever really crash or even make a sound? Did I even make a sound? Did I even make a sound? It's like I never make a sound. On the outside, always looking in, will I ever be more than I've always been? Cause I'm tapping on the glass, waving through a window. I try to speak, but nobody can hear. So I wait around for an answer to appear. While I'm watching people pass, waving through a window. Can anybody see? Is anybody waving back at me? Is anybody waving?
pursue. seems to drift when we all need a lift. Trim your sail, you won't fail. Find your grail, find your grail. Life is really up to you. You must choose what to pursue. Set your mind on what to find.
This could be the first show ever we release as a video podcast. Because I literally have fallen into this crazy, mad world. You three are just absolutely bonkers, but can be entertaining.
Right, live on air. Ali, when are you putting this drag queen into Showstoppers?
There's a question. To mute you, Ali, so you can't actually answer that question.
Oh, my cheeks are achy so much. That was just unbelievable. It basically, for the listeners, what was happening was I was making some medium to rubbish props, and then Ashley was outdoing me, and then every time Ashley outdid me, then Ruby came on with some absolutely show-stopping, incredible costume change that would put Debbie McGee to shame.
Mate, she is one of my idols.
Oh, she's incredible, isn't she? She's such
I just admire her for sucking Paul Daniel's cock for so many years.
I think we're all demonstrating different areas of like musicals, like skill. Like Ali doesn't have access to all of her props and stuff, so Ali's creating props where she sits. She made herself a knight uniform and like goblet for Spamalot. And then I'm doing like haphazardly, but with like passion and emotion. And then Ruby's coming in and just giving the visual experience that radio researchers cannot.
You would imagine that Ruby has revised the playlist, which she hasn't done because she hasn't had an opportunity to see it. And I'm then starting to panic that I'm gonna not press stop when I'm meant to. It's completely sent me into a complete overdrive of thought patterns.
I hope you're screenshotting.
I definitely am. There will be visual proof for all to see. So what did we have there? Because I don't actually want to talk anymore. I just want to play the rest of the playlist and see what had happened, because it's going to be a lot more insane for me than it is for you guys listening.
Because you're not engaging in the festivities. You're looking like a disinterested Claire Baldy.
Cheers. I'm just very worried that if, you know, I will lose the plot and it'll go into some other playlist and, you know, we'll be on till midnight. It's gone. Yes, everyone has lost the plot. So we had we started with Magic to Do from Pippin. We then went on to Mama Will Provide from Once on This Island. We then had Ruby's interpretation of Waiting Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen, which was just a classic. And we finished there with Find Your Grail from Spamalot. Just more great. I keep coming back to this question, how can you not love a musical with all this diversity we've had this evening already? And I still have about 300 tracks I still want to play, and I only have about 40 minutes left.
I think that's a key word there, is diversity. Like, what musicals can be. It's just like, you asked me earlier about like what my favorite musical is, and I can't say, because I do love the diversity. Like, I love coming out of something like 42nd Street and Wicked, where, you know, you're tapping your heels along on the way back to the tube. But then, yeah, like, you know, I love something like Dear Evan Hansen or Sondheim, which is really dark and makes you think, like Assassins, like really not a widely known musical. But my God, like, I suppose because I had to study it when I was training as well, so I had to study it as well as doing the show.
But it's just absolute genius. And who would have thunk that, you know, these killers or attempted killers could be turned into the most phenomenal musical? It's just genius. And absolutely. And the feels that you get, it's just, yeah. How can you not like musicals?
Also, first of all, I also love, when you said about diversity, I was really worried you were going to talk about the dance troupe, and I don't know why.
because they've always got the panto slots out there. So they're part of the furniture now. That's why. Yeah.
Also, I also really enjoy when I'm watching, Diva's Lament from Spotlight. We heard Fire Angel Grail, and obviously we heard it sung with Tim Curry and... I can't remember the name. Is it Sarah?
Sarah Ramirez,
who's fantastic. But also there's been so many incarnations of musicals. You can even see YouTube videos like comparing Memories from Cats, but done by different singers. And it was like hitting like the main note. And like, when you think about, was it the Royal Variety in 2008, where Nicole Scherzinger was on stage with four of the Phantoms and sang Phantom of the Opera? Pre-recorded high E, by the way.
Yeah, not a great example there.
but I do love listening to the different iterations and the different styles that people bring to doing musicals. Like, it's not just the same rehash. There's often something new about each one, and that's why I love it.
And do you know what as well? Like, yes, it's a musical, and you want to hear some good singing, but I will go acting over singing sometimes more. Yeah. And a clear example, the obvious one, you know, Judi Dench and Sent in the Clowns. I mean, she can't really sing a blooming note, but my God, it's phenomenal. And there's so many performers out there that do that. And you're like, yeah, okay, you're not hitting that top whatever every night, but you're giving me
However, on the reverse of that, I think it's something that Dan's already kind of previously touched on. I have seen a community theatre rendition of Les Miserables done on rollerblades. With rap. Yeah. They're not all
Sure how I touched on I'm not sure I said Les Mis and Rolling Stones and rap before.
We don't like so much.
Yes.
I was looking.
Again, how creative. Like someone that's been in someone's mind and they're like, yeah, let me go with that idea.
Musical. It's not a musical, but once at the Edinburgh Festival, I got flyered for Macbeth on a bouncy castle.
Yeah.
Talking about experiences that I didn't think would happen in theatre, and it's not a musical either, but our in year 10 at school, our English
teacher... God, you can remember that far.
I know, it's so long ago. Our English teacher took us to a version of Romeo and Juliet that was played by four men.
It was a
modern day version of Romeo and Juliet, and it was played by four men. And I'm not sure the teachers knew what they were taking us to. Yeah, and straight away after I came out, obviously. But it was just the most surreal thing ever, because the shock on the teacher's face when they saw these four men walk onto the stage. And it wasn't like, you know, how Shakespeare used to be where men played women. It was, they were just being men, but it was like a male version of Romeo and Juliet. The coach trip on the way back, there was some questions to the teachers which they couldn't really answer because they were a little bit embarrassed to answer them.
It was the 70s as well, and the 70s was a different time, wasn't it, Dan?
Anyway, we were talking earlier, and Ashley admitted his love for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, one musical episode ever, and I said we'll park the idea of the transition from either film to musical or musical to musical in the theatre to film. What are our views? What's worked? What hasn't worked so well, maybe? Ruby, should we start with you as the musical fanatic?
Me? I can't stand musicals. Ah, I sing all the time. Actually, that just reminds me very quickly. There's a really fun song because I know Nikki's not here tonight, and I know Nikki's, you know, is great on this station, and she doesn't like musicals. And it made me think of a song from a musical called Ruthless called I Hate Musicals that Tracy Bennett sang when she did the show, and it's a brilliant song and so funny, and it just made me think of it. So go look up that, because that's an unknown musical, really. So that's another fun song. Yes, going back to your question, I'm sorry. It's a weird one because, like, a bit like you, Ali, I suppose I kind of, you know, I grew up on those old MGM kind of musicals, and they're fantastic and glamorized and all of that. But then sometimes you put those on stage and you go, oh, And then it works the other way around as well when you then transfer something onto film. Like, I mean, I loved Chicago and I love the I do like the film, but again, it's a bit too flashy and bam, 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 bam. And I suppose it was a bit more like the original production, but then, you know, people go to see the show and go, oh, it's a bit basic. It's just black costumes and a bit of dancing. And it's like, well, no, because it's about the piece and this is what you can do with a piece of theatre. It doesn't need to be all these big sets and flashy. So it's a weird kind of, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they don't, both ways around, really. I mean, I'm really excited for Jamie film.
That looks so great, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Does look very good.
Perfect casting, that young man.
Oh, yeah.
Looks so brilliant in the trailer. I think the time they've got it most right is quite a few years ago with West Side Story, right? Like, they just nailed it to the wall. It's just such a beautiful movie.
And that's what it was meant to be coming out this Christmas, wasn't it? The Steven Spielberg version.
Yeah.
I kind of like, because I really enjoyed the film version of Rent. I did enjoy it, but that's because I also enjoyed the fact that most of the actors that were in it were West End musical performers.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the Les Mis film. I didn't even entertain the Cats film.
Oh, yes. Oh, mate.
Get rid of that. I thought that would come up at some point.
But I think also as well, and I hate to bring it back to Buffy, the reason I do enjoy that musical episode is because as a... the way that the guy who wrote it, he also has written other musicals as well. He wrote Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog with Neil Patrick Harris. So he's written a few musicals with other people, but he made sure that the characters within it were aware that they were in a musical. So they also took the mickey out of musical pastiches. Like, they opened the door to the shop and there's a man singing about them getting the mustard out of his shirt at the dry cleaners. Like, because it's almost like a Sondheim, like, sort of musical. So they also make loads of jokes about it being a musical. And that is why I really enjoy it as well. So it can work. But, and I think they talked about in the Les Mis, like the extreme close-up shot in the Les Mis film. In musical theatre and on stage, the acting is so big and also sometimes so small and quiet. And you're so entranced. And the power of the chorus and the power of the band that you're listening to far surpasses what your TV and what a cinema can do. The live band in the pit and the power is just beyond anything else. I remember when I watched the Les Mis film versus when I watched it in the theater, I remember at the end of part one, me turning to my dad, we both just had goosebumps up our arm after one day. Is such a powerful, incredible song.
The first few notes of that whole show, like, I've seen it so many times, and still that dun 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 dun. As soon as it starts, you just go, oh, like,
it's immersion, isn't it? It's something you can't get from a film sometimes. Okay, look, good. I'm glad we've debated that, and I would cut it short because we've got 30 minutes left, and I want to see how many of these tracks we can fit in before we come back and say our goodbyes. So we're actually going to start with the film version of musical as well. So here is Dame Julie Andrews. Is she a dame? I think she probably is a dame, isn't she? She might not be, actually.
She is.
Yeah, I think she is.
Dame Julie Andrews with I Have Confidence from The Sound of Music.
What will this day be like? I wonder. What will my future be? I wonder. It could be so exciting to be out in the world, to be free. My heart should be wildly rejoicing. Oh, what's the matter with me? I've always longed for adventure, to do the things I've never dared. Now here I'm facing adventure, then why am I so scared? A captain with 7 children, what's so fearsome about that? Oh, I must stop these doubts, all these worries. If I don't, I just know I'll turn back. I must dream of the things I am seeking. I am seeking the courage I lack. the courage to serve them with reliance, face my mistakes without defiance, show them I'm worthy, and while I show them, I'll show me. So let them bring on all their problems. I'll do better than my best. I have confidence they'll put me to the test, but I'll make them see I have confidence in me. Somehow I will impress them. I will be firm but kind, and all those children, heaven bless them, they will look up to me and mind me with each step. I am more certain everything will turn out fine. I have confidence the world can all be mine. They'll have to agree I have confidence in me. I have confidence in sunshine. I have confidence in rain. I have confidence that spring will come again. Besides which, you see, I have confidence in me. Strength doesn't lie in numbers. Strength doesn't lie in wealth. Strength lies in nights of peaceful slumbers. When you wake up, wake up! It tells me all I trust I leave my heart to. All I trust becomes my own. I have confidence in confidence alone. Oh, help. I have confidence in confidence alone. Besides which, you see, I have confidence in me.
Dearest, darlingest Momsie and Popsicle.
My dear father.
There's been some confusion over rooming here at Shiz.
But of course I'll care for Nessa.
But of course I'll rise above it. For I know that's how you'd want me to respond, yes. There's been some confusion, for you see my roommate is
unusually and exceedingly peculiar and altogether quite impossible to describe.
Blonde.
What is this feeling so sudden and new?
I felt the moment I laid eyes on you.
My pulse is rushing.
My head is reeling.
My face is flushing.
What is this feeling? Fervid as a flame. Does it have a name? Yes. Loathing. Unadulterated loathing.
For your face,
your voice,
your clothing.
Let's just say, I loathe it all. Every little trait, however small, makes my very flesh begin to crawl with simple utter loathing. There's a strange exhilaration in such total detestation.
Oh,
be tall enough to reach the branches that I need to reach to climb the trees you get to climb when you're grown up. And when I grow up, I will be smart enough to answer all the questions that you need to know the answers to before you're grown up.
And when I grow up, I will eat sweets every day on the way to work, and I will go to bed late every night.
And I will wake up when the sun comes up, and I will watch cartoons until my eyes go square, and I won't care, 'cause I'll be all grown up when I grow up. When I grow up, when I grow up, when I grow up, I will be strong enough to carry all the heavy things you have to hold around with you.
Tracy, I haven't left this house in years.
Then isn't it time you did?
Oh, no, Tracy. We'll have your father meet with him. I don't want to be seen like this. The neighbors haven't seen me since I was a size 10. Don't make me do it, Tracy.
Ma, it's changing out there. You'll like it. People who are different, their time is coming.
Wanna set free, so let go, go, go with the past now. Say hello to the love in your heart. Yes, I know that the world's spinning fast now. You gotta get yourself a brand new start. Hey mama, welcome to the 60s. Oh, 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 oh. Oh mama, welcome to the 60s. Oh, 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 oh. Go mama, go, go, go. Welcome to the 60s.
This house since 1951.
Hey mama, take a chance.
Oh, Tracy, it's been years since someone asked me to dance.
So let go, go, go. For the past now, say hello to the light in your eyes.
morning, Star.
Fantastic to meet you. I'm Mr. Pinky.
It's so nice to meet you.
Tracy, is this your older sister?
Flattery will not distract Miss Turnblad's agent.
54 double D,
triple
E. I hit the mother load!
Look at me, I'm the cutest chickie that you ever did see. Hey, Tracy, hey, baby, look at us. Where is there a team that's half as fabulous? I let go, go, go the past now. Say hello to this red carpet ride. Yes, I know that the world's spinning fast now. Tell Lola Bridget to step aside. Your mama's working in the 60s.
Casual. Whoa.
You must be exhausted, Ruby.
I'm dripping.
I'm dripping.
Ruby has managed to costume change every song.
And do the best makeup work she's ever done.
Yeah. I think lockdown's treated you well, Ruby.
Yeah, look at that receding hairline. It's beautiful.
Although I'm also thinking in Boris, get us out of lockdown just so Ruby can start to integrate with people again, because she needs to
locked down, but she gets back up again, if you know what I mean.
Always making the men up again.
There's so many more I wanted to play there, but we are coming to the end of the show. I Have Confidence from The Sound of Music, What Is This Feeling from Wicked, When I Grow Up from Matilda, and just then the film version of Welcome to the 60s from Hairspray with John Travolta, who's from other musical film fame.
Absolute legend. What a legend
in musical theatre. Right, so Ali, tell us again, Showstoppers is where, from when, and how can people get tickets?
Yeah, Showstopper has a run happening at the Garrick Theatre in London. There's one on the 7th of December, and the next is the 11th of January, and we've got shows sporadically throughout until March. So we're doing quite a few shows there. But also something people can see right now during lockdown and during tears and what have you is the Showstopper live stream. So we are making up musicals live in a TV studio, taking comments from people online in the chat feed, and then making their wishes come true in a musical theatre fashion.
Ooh. Fabulous.
So if you want to check that out, head over to the Showstopper the Musical website. And you'll be able to buy tickets for our online live streams.
And we'll post links on our social media stuff. Thank you, Ali. And Ruby, is there anything coming up for Ruby Violet after lockdown?
Well, hopefully I'll be having a few gigs in December. Camden Cabaret. Hopefully a New Year show over in Chelmsford, where I do my usual boozy bingo. And if you do love musicals, I'm going to be doing a new show on Theatreland Radio, which is a 24-hour musical theatre station. So, yes, a drag queen on the radio. How camp?
That's very camp as Christmas.
But obviously, Ship Full of Bombs is the best radio station around. So, you know, flick over a little bit of time, but make sure you come back and listen to us.
of course.
Ali, Dan, me, we're going to go to Boozy Bingo, I think sounds brilliant.
I'm well up for it. I keep meaning to go, and then it sells out really quickly, doesn't it?
It's a sellout.
I'll get me Dabber out.
I have to say, this night has literally been the most fun I've had for a long time. Thank you so much, all of you.
I genuinely
feel like I've like been on a night out to crush.
This has been the most exercise I've had. Look at me,
This is exactly what this show is about. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We have a little bit of fun, and hopefully that comes across, within the listeners. Thanks for coming on, Ali. Thanks, Ruby. Ashti, thanks as always. We will be back actually on Christmas Eve, and we have something pretty special lined up. So watch this space. Ashti looks confused because I haven't actually spoken to him about it, but we do.
Does that go out on the actual day as well? Sorry. This is Thursday, isn't it?
Yes, it will actually go out on Christmas Eve. It might not go out live on Christmas Eve, but the podcast will be available, and we would encourage people to tune in. Also, mentioned earlier, there's lots of other shows on Ship Full of Bombs. That's www.sfob.co.uk, and find us on all your favourite podcasting listening things, Podbean, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, we're there. And you know, listen back to some of the shows. We've had some great shows. This is show number 17, and we have had some great shows during lockdown and before then. Not much more to say apart from there's a couple of tracks lined up. I want to dedicate the next track to my friend Lucy's new boyfriend. Apparently he absolutely loves this song. I've not met him yet, so Chris, big shout out to you. This song apparently was requested for you. It was also requested by one of our guests here. And we're going to finish on an absolute banger. Thank you, guests. If you haven't been to a musical, if you're not into musicals, get into something, listen to it. I'm sure this won't be the only show we do on musicals, because there is a lot of catalogue that we still want to get through. But thank you. Good night, and keep safe, and see you in December.
Saw the sun begin to dim and felt that winter wind blow cold. A man learns who is there for him when the glitter fades and the walls won't hold. 'Cause from that rubble, what remains can only be what's true. If all was lost, there's more I gained, 'cause it led me back to you. From now on, these eyes will not be blinded by the light. From now on, what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight. Tonight, let this promise in me start like an anthem in my heart. From now on. Drink champagne with kings and queens. The politicians praise my name. But those were someone else's dreams. The pitfalls of the man I became. For years and years, I chased their cheers across.
crazy speed of always needing more. But when I stop and see you here, I remember who all this was for. And from now on, these eyes will not be blinded by the lights. From now on, watch, wait until tomorrow starts tonight. It starts tonight.
To live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly, I simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether I'm the rose of sheer perfection, a freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the cinder or the shiny apple of its eye, I gotta fly once, I gotta try once, only can die once, right, sir. Ooh, life is juicy, juicy, and you see I'm gonna have my bite. Get ready for me, love, 'cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march, my heart's a drummer. Don't bring around a cloud of rain on my parade. I'm gonna live and live now. Get what I want, I know how. One roll for the whole shebang. One throw, that bell will go clang. Eye on the target and
Mr. Onstein, here I am. I'll march my band out. I'll beat my drum. And if I'm fanned up, you turn at bats. At least I didn't fake it. Guess I didn't make it. Get ready for me, love, 'cause I'm a